We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Does anything make you nervous?
Caves. I don't see any caves out here. I know. We're in the south, but it's not the desert. That's where I find most caves are probably at.
Howard Simon.
I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also, I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means I can buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner.
Jeremy White.
You know, I think I'm a cool guy. My dogs think I'm awesome. My teammates like me. And my friends like me. So I'm going to attack. I'm going to win. Simple.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let me tell you. I love the answer. Anything scare you? Caves.
Yeah.
That's the best answer.
Caves.
Caves.
Yeah, because in the caves there will be snakes and bats and other things waiting to eat me up. Or
caves
bite me
are
or,
scary.
Yeah, they are. Cave of the Winds wasn't scary, though. We'll get to our Western Hotline, shall we, to start this hour open up here? What are we doing? I have no idea. We are going to talk about the Titans, Bills fans, because they made a big move. It impacts the AFC. It impacts the Bills' schedule because the Bills play the Titans. And we're going to cover all of it with Teron Davenport, who covers the Titans for ESPN.com. And he is with us right now on the Western Hotline. Teron, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show today. Thanks for coming on with us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you for asking. And I assume fans are good down there. What was the general reaction after the news came out about Julio Jones?
Man, the general reaction was euphoria. Everybody's excited. Media, too, because it's always good to have a juicy story to cover. So, you know, no horse in the race. But, you know, we'll see what happens, man. You know, the mothership, they think I got a face for radio. So maybe I'll finally, you know, get to prove them what my mother said, and I got a face for TV, too. So we'll see.
How much did they, you know, they lose Corey Davis in the offseason. Was there talk right away that they've got to do something to fill that spot? How much did they need to get that spot filled?
Well, they knew that they had to get it filled just because they didn't have too many other options to be the Batman to, or excuse me, the Robin to A.J. Brown's Batman. And they went out and signed Josh Reynolds. They drafted Dez Fitzpatrick. But all along, it just seemed like there was something else that had to be done. I wasn't sure that the Julio Jones situation would come to fruition. I thought maybe Jamison Crowder, you know, to get him to work the slot. But, man, they hit a home run, at least on paper. So here we are. John Robinson said they've been in that conversation from the start. You know, as soon as the rumors started to circulate that he was on the block, and now, you know, here we are. I'm on Buffalo radio talking about the Titans.
Yeah, I think for us, and I'm guessing in every other market that actually cares about what the Titans did, the big question is, hey, they love to run the ball. They love to feed Derrick Henry, but now they have not only A.J. Brown, they add in Julio Jones. So what is this? Does this shift the philosophy offensively? Do they come away from the running game at all? Wouldn't you go and make sure you use Julio Jones as much as possible?
Well, you could use both, and I don't think it's going to shift at all. And, yeah, Julio Jones is a great acquisition, but let's not get it twisted. You know, there's a John Deere tractor in the backfield with number 22 on, and you got to keep giving him the football. So he's going to get his touches, and that's the bread and butter of this team. Everything revolves. He's the engine that drives everything. And even defensively, you know, those guys, you talk to them, they really feed off of what he does. And Mike Vrabel is a head coach, a defensive-minded head coach. You know he's going to want to run the football. So that's something that's going to continue to happen. But it's going to be play action, right? The play action, deep digs and those type of things, taking advantage of guys that are 225 and 230 pounds, catching the football. And look, DBs, they don't want to fool with that. So that's why those guys get yards after the catch, especially A.J. Brown. And I think that's what they're going to run with, just a quality over quantity approach, right? You could have 100 catches and 1,000 yards, but is that really better than 60 catches for 1,100? You know what I mean? So yeah. You got to balance it out and look at it from that perspective.
Well, let me ask you this now with Derrick Henry again, and the John Deere guy in the backfield, the tractor. So the last 2 years, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think it's close to 700 carries he's had over the last 2 years. Would you expect that kind of average number to still be the same then this season? It's still going to be a big workload of him.
They're going to try to corral it and offset it with Darrington Evans catching the ball out of the backfield and then also getting his touches. And Brian Hill, signed from the Falcons, he'll be another one. And Jeremy McNichols, they'll try to offset it. But, the bottom line is you got to keep feeding Derrick Henry. And, a lot of people say, well, you get all those carries, there's a pounding and it's at the third. I could tell you maybe five times in three seasons I've seen Derrick Henry actually get hit to where you're like, oh, yeah, I know that hurt. Hmm. A lot of his runs, if you look at it, they're finished with the stiff arm or they're finished, where he's the one inflicting the punishment. And, you got pads on. You got shoulder pads on. That absorbs the hit. So he's not a guy that takes a huge pounding. And then on top of that, you look at his off-season training. I don't know if you guys check out his IG, but, the dude was doing 54-inch box jumps yesterday. But you see him doing all types of crazy workouts and even during practice when they're doing special teams. Typically a running back, he's just on the sideline, standing there talking to the coach. Well, in training camp, Derrick Henry, he goes over to the sand pit and he gets a workout there and then comes back and has the nerve to, do the rest of practice. So, that is something I just have tremendous respect for that. And just seeing him and the running back coach, Tony Dews, jog up and down the field at times, just working on catching the football and those type of things. His time management skills are superb. He takes advantage of every bit of practice. And like I said, I truly respect that.
All right, let me ask you this. Off the comments about Henry and workload, let me take it to this point. I saw a stat earlier this week, and it was in an article at ESPN.com, so it was probably your article. But anyway, that Derrick Henry faced more eight-man boxes than anybody other running back in the league last year. It was 23%, I think, of his carries.
Yep.
Now you provide Julio Jones in the mix, but if Tennessee's offensive identity is still first and foremost Derrick Henry, I guess I'm getting to this. Would teams still load up eight-man boxes, or do the Titans think the presence of Jones and Brown will create fewer eight-man boxes, and then we can really keep feeding the ball to Derrick Henry?
Can I tell you something really interesting? They don't care.
Yeah.
They're
going to run it no matter what, right?
Yeah, and when you have a back like Derrick Henry, right, you get him to the second level, he's gone, especially against eight-man box. This is an eight-man box. What happens, right? You got eight in the box, you got one and one on the outside and one over top. Chances are he's going to outrun the angle that the safety has. So that's why he hits so many. You look at his big runs, most of them, his home runs, have come against eight-man boxes. He had a 99-yard touchdown run. He gave out about eight stiff arms. And it was against an eight-man box. So that's the thing that's so interesting about him. Teams stack the box, but he gets more yards against the eight-man box than anybody in the league. So it's just crazy. He's a very unique player. But, now in these situations, you stack the box. Hey, listen, if you have the audacity to go one-on-one with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, hey, God bless you. I'm glad you have confidence in your guys. But I think looking at that, most of the time, those guys are going to win one-on-one matchups.
Amidst all the talk about offense, the final thing I want to ask you about, Teron, is the defense. Because I think as an outsider, I would look at it and say, I think that's a great move. It's a great pickup. You add a weapon like Julio Jones with A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. That's great for the offense. But my biggest question is, what about their defense? It wasn't as good last year. There's been some changeover. Their pass rush needs help. They spent some money in free agency on that. They turned over their secondary. I think it's more about Tennessee's 2021 season would be more about what are you going to get out of your defense. I think they're going to be good offensively. What are your thoughts on the other side of the ball?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I'm sitting here raving about the offense and all that, but if I'm going to keep it 100 with you, the defense, hey listen, that's something to be concerned about. And for real, when people ask me, okay, well, you know, where do you see the Titans in the grand scheme of things? How do they compare to the Bills? I would say Titans have advantage running the football, but the Bills, that defense is no joke. So that's their advantage, and that's why it's hard for me to put the Titans in front of the Bills, you know. So, yeah, I mean, when you have a team that gave up 36 passing touchdowns, second worst in the league, 19 total sacks, which was the third worst ever by a playoff team, you got to get that fixed. I mean, you look at red zone trips. Teams got inside the 20. They were scoring 60%, over 60% of the time. And, fellas, we're not talking about field goals. We're talking about touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Third down percentage, 53% of the time teams saw third downs, they were getting first downs. All that stuff is terrible, you know. So that's something that they have to fix. And I like the mindset that they're taking. And I talked to Kevin Byard, and he said, you know, they have to get more aggressive with the wide receivers at the line of scrimmage, not playing off on third and short, challenging them. And that's something, the lack of that is really what has hurt that team's third down defense, you know, because it's third and three, and you let Stephon Diggs release off to get a free release. You're going to give up the first down because Josh Allen's going to find him and it's going to be first down. They're going to keep moving. So that's what you have to stop. And really, you know, when you have those free releases, no chatter at the line of scrimmage, it doesn't disrupt the timing of the passing game. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, the quarterback, Josh Allen, could just hit his first read and have no problem. But if you're challenging these guys and you're making him go through his progressions, that gives the guys up front more time to get home. I think that's the important thing. And the guys up front, you know, when they get the quarterback in their targets, when they have them dead to rights, you can't whiff. They're striking out a lot. If you go back and look, the quarterbacks were able to free themselves up when they should have been sacked. So those are problems that have to be fixed. I think, you know, getting finishers like Bud Dupree, Danico Autry, that's really going to help. Jack Rabbit Jenkins is a guy that will come up and challenge receivers. And, you know, you watch that game he had against Diggs when Diggs was a Viking his last year in Minnesota. He took him on one-on-one and held his own. I think he only gave up 3 receptions. So, you know, this was back when Jenkins was with the Saints. So, you know, you got guys that are coming in. They revamped the secondary. Imani Hooker will be the starting safety. He led the team in interceptions. You got Jayon Brown coming back. There's a lot of positivity, but, you know, the bottom line is that defense was disgusting last year, and they have to get that better. Otherwise, you know, all of this hype and excitement about Julio Jones will be for naught because, you know, teams like the Bills, you know, with that passing game with Cole Beasley and Diggs and those guys, they will pick the Titans apart if they don't get that defense right. So that's my take on it.
Teron Davenport covers the Titans for ESPN.com. Teron, thanks for coming on with us. Enjoyed having you on the show today, sir, and enjoy the rest of your summer break.
You got it. Anytime. And Julio Jones is making his debut today, so I don't know if you guys saw that news, and A.J. Brown is likely to be on the field as well for the first time, so we'll get to see the dynamic duo.
They got mandatory camp. Is this their mandatory mini camp?
No, it's not mandatory. It's OTA.
Oh, they're still that, yeah.
You know, you got a guy like Vrabel, mandatory or voluntary is encouraged, but not, you know.
Yeah,
mandatory.
Right. Yeah, we got it. Enjoy watching.
All right, for sure. You guys take it easy.
You too. Thank you. Monday Night Football, October 18th, you know, after the Bills go 4-0 to start the season. Back-to-back night games on the road with KC and Tennessee for that portion of the schedule. Teron Davenport joining us on the Western Hotline on the Tennessee Titans.
So I was looking back at the box score of that Titans-Ravens playoff game because the Titans, you know, they were a threat going into the postseason. When we were talking about the Bills, who are you going to play, you know, the matchup, Indy, Tennessee, Baltimore, a lot of different potential first-round matchups, and I forget, who were we afraid of? We didn't want to play Baltimore in the first round.
Yeah.
Because of how different the matchup was, and Baltimore proved to be a big test, you know.
They were playing well down the stretch.
Yep.
And I know I would – I didn't think Tennessee's defense was anything special. Baltimore, you still had to worry about their pass rushers. Their corners are really good, and Lamar Jackson, and they were playing better. Like, they were like one of the hottest teams, right? The Bills were too, down the stretch of the season. Baltimore was a team that everybody was saying, let's just try and not play them.
Yeah. Well, with the Titans and with Derrick Henry, the thing I would think about with them, if I'm a Bills fan, I just hope they don't figure out that Tannehill's really good. You know, to build their team and run through Henry, which, you know, as Teron points out, that's what they do. That's clearly their identity.
But
in that you know what Derrick Henry did in that playoff game?
Go ahead, refresh me.
18 carries.
Yeah.
Four.
Oh, Lord. I don't know, like 40 yards?
40 yards.
Hey, how about that, huh?
18 carries for 40 yards.
Right.
And lost by 7, scored 13 points. But Baltimore's defense was good last
good,
year.
Yeah.
Good defensive line. They lost Judon, right? He went to New England.
Yeah.
But Tannehill only threw 26 passes in that game. 18 of 26, 165, a touchdown and a pick. It's just it's kind of like, I think about this when I think about pass rush with the Bills. Like, Gregory Rousseau is going to help the Bills pass rush, and so is Boogie Basham.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is, though, I think those guys will help you beat most teams, but there are teams that they won't help you beat as much.
Yeah.
Right? You want to chase down the Chiefs? I don't think you're getting to the quarterback that many times.
Right.
You want to be an offense that runs through Derrick Henry? Okay. You're going to beat Jacksonville twice. You're going to beat who else is in their division? You're going to beat Houston twice.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get to the playoffs.
And then maybe who knows with the Colts. But yeah, right.
Are you going to beat the Bills?
It's tough.
Are you going to beat
Baltimore?
You
got to score.
Are
you got to put up points.
Right. Are you going to beat Cleveland?
Right.
And Tannehill puts up points for them. They have done really good things with Tannehill, and you might not think Tannehill's all that good, and that's okay. What they did for him with Arthur Smith a lot was play action.
Play action.
You do that off of Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And Kevin Cole was tweeting a number of stats about this earlier this morning about Tannehill. And rather than make this trivia, I'll just read you a couple of these.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the last two seasons, there are only two quarterbacks with a top five expected points added per play. Only two. It's Mahomes and Tannehill.
Wow.
In the last two seasons, there are four quarterbacks with a top seven passing grade. Now, again, Allen gets both of these probably for 2020, but he didn't get it for 2019. Four quarterbacks in the last two seasons have done it, both years. Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill. The Titans should be throwing, and that they got Julio means that they should be throwing. Time will tell. Will they throw more?
That's the
number one thing they can do to get better is hand it to Derrick Henry, in my opinion. Hand it to Derrick Henry less.
Yeah, and throw it more. Yeah, yep. Look, you could still – I mean, they could still run Derrick Henry 300 times. 270. They ran him 378 times in the regular season last year. Now, that's why I wanted to get a Titans guest on, in this case, Teron Davenport, because it's the obvious question, Jeremy. When they make that trade, I'm thinking, well, they're looking around the conference. Who are the, quote, top guns? Kansas City and the Bills, right? Big-time passing offenses, explosive offenses. Now, look, as you know, I'm not a huge fan of Tannehill, but I'm not stupid. He's better in Tennessee. He's good. He's good in Tennessee. I was never worried about him as a threat with Miami. Kind of like, well, when the Bills played Tennessee and Marcus Mariota was there, forget it. They don't have any passing offense. So now they bring in Tannehill, and he's good. And he's got an arm to make plays downfield. Like, he can hit deep threats and things like that. That's why when they made that trade, I thought, well, that's brilliant for them. Because they're promoting a new OC. Maybe they realize we're going to have to pass the ball a little bit more. We've got to score more points. So we bring in Julio, and now you got two guys who can have 120-plus targets or whatever it is, but that means the numbers have to come down for Henry.
It'll be interesting to see because, you know, there are a lot of ways to do it, and one thing that a lot of numbers bear out, every single quarterback in the NFL is better on play action. You should be running a lot of play action, and the Titans ran a lot with Arthur Smith and Henry and Tannehill. You don't even have to be a good run team.
Right, that's
You're going
it.
To
right.
be better at play action than the rest of it.
Yeah.
And that's true for Allen, you know, along the way in his development was play action will help a quarterback. It's a quarterback's best friend. So if they get Julio and they stop running play action, Maybe they don't get the help they think they're going to get.
That's right. Yeah, and you can have successful play action without having Derrick Henry run 378 times.
You don't even have to run it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's deceiving. You're just trying to fool the defense for a second.
You get the half second that you need.
That's right.
To me, the Titans are very interesting because I think they have what it takes to be as good as the Bills offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Just about. I mean, Tannehill's not as athletic as Allen, but he does run well.
Yes, he does move.
He's a former receiver, right?
Right, he can move, yeah.
So they have the things to do it. I wonder if they're too committed to Derrick Henry.
That's so funny. I mean, and then the thing, like Teron was saying, like, well, don't worry. Could this be less 8-man boxes? And then maybe they look at it in a reverse way. We get Julio Jones. That means teams will pull guys out of the box, so we keep running Derrick Henry more, and he's like, well, it doesn't matter. If it's an 8-man box, they're going to run it anyway, because that's what the Titans do. They're going to run the ball.
Yeah, maybe they're a little bit a reverse Bills. Like, yes, we run the ball fairly well. We'd like to be
a little
more balanced.
Effective when we need to be more effective when we throw the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right?
I think their answer is just throwing it more.
Sure. I can't say it has to be because it doesn't have to
be. Well, I mean, in that playoff game, you wouldn't have said that Tannehill had a great day. On 18 completions, he had 165 yards. On 18 runs, Derrick Henry had 40.
Yeah.
And if Henry had a good day, 18 carries get you how many yards?
For him? Yeah, he really averages over. He's got to average around 5 yards a carry.
Tannehill had 165 on 18 completions. You know, like, completions are better than runs.
Chunk plays. And I know the guy said, you know, like Derrick Henry can stiff arm people and he can do this and do that. But let's face it. You want chunk plays? Throw the ball. And you've got Julio Jones and A.J. Brown who can make explosive plays for you. Brown, sure.
That's one way I think that they can do better. Like the point you bring up about if Julio makes them lighten the box defensively, look out. It's one of the reasons that I think Singletary for the Bills has been a little underwhelming as a runner is because they get light boxes all the time for him.
Yeah. You should have bigger plays.
And if it's the blocking, whatever it is, they get good run looks, and they have not run it that great.
803-0550 to join us. We'll do a little NHL draft talk when we get back. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com is on the way. We'll see if we can give away $1,000 this morning with another code word on our National Win Cash Contest. We're going with FACE this time around. FACE. Text FACE to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You do have until 10 o'clock to text the code word in, so please do not text if you're driving when you hear the code word. FACE, 72881. More code words coming up during the Instigators and One Bills Live and Chopin the Bulldog Show. The Win Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
impressed me as the season went on with the Wolverines at Michigan for Owen Power is, and even in previous seasons when he was with the Chicago Steel, the United States Hockey League, for two seasons. He was with the Mississauga Reps in his junior days as a young teen. On every level that he's gone to, he's matched that level. It just took a few games. It took some time to adjust, but once he was able to adjust, he was able to play his game.
That is Mike Morial from NHL.com on the draft. We're going to talk to one of his colleagues from NHL.com in a moment, Adam Kimmelman, who will join us here on our Wester Hotline. You can actually read his work at NHL.com, where he is the deputy managing editor. He is with Mike on the NHL Draft Class podcast, and you can follow him on Twitter at NHL Adam K, just the letter. Mr. Kimmelman, Howard and Jeremy here in Buffalo, good morning. Welcome to another Sabres picking at the top, or at least near the top draft. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Is there any, before we get into, you know, who the Sabres should take with the number one pick, is there anything in particular when you look at the class of 2021, a theme, anything stand out in a large overview of this year's draft class? Anything grab you?
Well, I think a lot's been made of some of the really strong young defensemen that are in this draft, starting right at the top with Owen Power. And I think, you know, beyond that, though, I think there are a lot of really talented forwards that I think maybe you're getting overlooked a little bit, you know, between Matthew Beniers and Kent Johnson at Michigan and Dylan Gunther at with Edmonton in the Western League. I think this is a very deep draft. I don't know. You're not going to have the Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews pull you out of your seat type player walking into the NHL at 18. But I think if you're looking 5 years from now, a lot of teams are going to be really happy with what they do, you know, that last weekend in July.
You know, the draft, of course, is always tough in the NHL to try and project these guys out. They're so young, all that stuff. What is it any tougher, or does it really, I mean, the whole thing about guys not playing, some leagues didn't start, like the Ontario Hockey League. Does it make it even more challenging, or honestly, it really doesn't matter at all?
Well, for sure, there's way more challenges involved this year with the scouting when you can't actually see guys live. In some cases, you don't see guys at all, just because in the case of the Ontario League, they never played. And some guys were able to go over to Europe and find jobs. Some guys weren't. So it's been very difficult for the scouts just to get a handle on, you know, what they're looking at here. But, you know, these guys are really smart. The ones who work for the teams, the ones who work for Central Scouting, they're able to figure out what these guys can do, video, you know, looking back at what they've done previous seasons. It's not just, they didn't just start scouting this year's draft class when this season began back in, you know, August or September. They've been following these guys for multiple seasons at this point. So they have a book on probably 99% of the kids in this year's draft, you know, North America and Europe. So it's just the amount of information you have on these guys is going to be smaller in some cases than it would be in a normal season. But they're going to be as well prepared as they possibly can walking into their draft rooms on July 23rd.
All right, Adam, you're running the Sabres draft room. You're at the table. You're making the pick. The Sabres' first pick should be?
Well, for me, you don't overthink it. It's Owen Power. He's the best player in this year's draft class to me. You know, 6'6", 213-pound defenseman who skate that well with that sort of hockey IQ, that sort of instincts, you know, they don't come around all the time. So when you see one pop up and you have the opportunity to grab one, you do it. He's a guy who, and you saw it if you were able to follow the World Championship at all, when he played 20 minutes a game with and against NHL-level competition. Granted, it was on the big ice, so he had a little bit more room to operate. But he's a guy who's going to make whatever adjustments are needed to prosper and to be able to play his game at whatever level of hockey he's playing at. So, you know, he's not going to be your Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson 80-point-a-season guy, but he's going to do everything very, very well. He's going to impact every area of the game eventually. Power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, up a goal, down a goal, last minute of a game. He's going to be the guy that you're going to want on the ice pretty quickly once he arrives in with your team.
I did want to ask you about the World Championships. Adam Kimmelman with us from NHL.com. Jeremy mentioned earlier that Gerard Gallant was rather effusive in his praise. Now, we had someone on who covered his Michigan season earlier in the week. What But what did you see specifically, right, when you go from playing against very good collegiate talent at Michigan in the Big Ten to playing against NHL guys and, you know, quote, playing against men? What stood out, I guess, when you watched that? It's a little bit closer to trying to project out what he would do in the NHL. What grabbed you?
Well, you look at the ice time, right? That's always the best barometer of what a coach thinks of a player. And you look in the championship game, a one-goal game against Finland, he's on the ice 10 minutes in the third period alone. I don't know what more needs to be said as far as, you know, and Gerard Gallant is not going to put an 18-year-old kid out there in a championship game unless he really believes in that kid, unless he really trusts him. And clearly, he earned that coach's trust. So if he can earn Gerard Gallant's trust in that small a sample size, I'm really not too concerned about what he's going to do when he gets to the NHL. So that's sort of a really nice precursor of what whatever team drafts Owen Power is going to get. You know, were there bumps in the road in the beginning? Absolutely. You know, that whole Canada team had some issues at the beginning of the tournament. They lost, I guess, their first three games. But, you know, once he found his groove and once he figured out what he could do, what he can't do, and that speaks to the hockey IQ and the way that he's able to adjust to what's going on in front of him. You know, he didn't try to press. He didn't get concerned. He didn't get worried. He just followed along with what was happening, figured out what he could do to be successful, what he didn't, what he wasn't able to do, and he found that niche and he prospered in it. So I have no doubt that Owen Power is going to be able to make that same adjustment when he gets to the NHL this season.
Is there anybody else you can make a case for the number one overall pick?
Well, the guy that I've really enjoyed watching, just, you know, the bits and pieces of times I've watched him, is Matthew Beniers, Power's teammate at Michigan. You know, he's a guy, speed, relentlessness on the forecheck, you know, skills. He's already a, you know, pretty good defensive player, a 200-foot player. To me, he reminds me of a guy, he has a lot of the same traits as a Jonathan Toews. Just in the way he attacks the game offensively, the way he plays it defensively, the way he impacts all areas of the game. You know, he, to me, is the best forward available in this year's draft, and we had our mock drafts on NHL.com. I actually have Matthew Beniers going number two to the Seattle Kraken. So I think he's a guy that if you're looking for a forward, if that's the player you need, he's a center, plays all 200 feet. And I think even if he doesn't become a big scorer his first year or two in the NHL, he's a guy I think who can play in the league at 18 just because of his hockey sense and his defensive ability. You know, he was the second line center for the U.S., the World Junior Championship as a 17-year-old. That, again, speaks to, you know, his skill set, that he was able to find a real vital role for himself, you know, kill penalties, make an impact as a younger player against more developed, more mature physically competition. So, yeah, he's a guy I really like, but if I'm sitting there at number one, it would really take a lot for me to have to pass on Owen Power. As good as I think Matthew Beniers and some of these other players is going to be, to me, Power's about as no doubt as you can get in this year's draft.
Again, Adam is, you can read Adam's work, I should say, at NHL.com. We always love having Adam and Mike on the show here. Host of the NHL Draft Class podcast, if you want to look for that. You can follow Adam on Twitter, at NHL Adam K, Deputy Managing Editor for NHL.com. Adam, thank you, as always, for sharing some time with us, and enjoy the draft. Enjoy your hockey summer and the rest of the playoffs.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Western Hotline bringing us Adam Kimmelman.
You know, it really is a shame.
I'm not sure really where you're going. You're being snarky. Go ahead.
What?
When you say it really is a shame, you're setting me up for sarcasm.
No, I'm being serious.
Oh, you really are being serious. All right, yeah. Go ahead. I thought you were going snarky.
I don't know which of the two that these of these players the Sabres are going to look for. You know, Beniers or Owen Power. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of Beniers. Like that description.
Yes.
Know. But, you know, whoever they don't pick – you got to play for the Seattle hockey team, like wear that, and they have to talk about being that name. Oh, didn't you just cringe when you heard it?
Actually, you know what? Four days without you was like, we actually mentioned their nickname when you weren't here.
Oh, that's I'm so sorry. Why would you do that?
Because it's a funny nickname. It's good. It's fun.
It's not funny. It's good.
It's a good nickname.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's creative. It's different.
It's That's right.
You fret way too much over this, Jeremy.
I mean, hey, you name a hockey team after a meme. I mean, it's cool.
By the way, how about Brayton, Mr. Stick in the Mud, liking this name? I just there's an ironic part of this discussion. Yes, we actually mentioned the K word while you were gone.
It's unfortunate.
I did bring up the fact that we could mention it because you were not here. I didn't use the snark cannon, but I did feel the freedom to mention the nickname of the team that has the second pick in the draft.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew Beniers, congratulations on playing for the Seattle Hockey team.
I mean, you can't tell me you're not counting down the moments until draft night when he gets to go up, assuming it's Beniers, whatever, gets to go up on the stage and they hand him that jersey and he's taking all the pictures holding up the Seattle jersey with that fabulous logo.
Just for clarification, but when I use the movie line to make fun of them, I'm not referring to the hockey team. Because when the GM goes up there and says something along the effects of, who hosts the draft this year? Who is it?
Brayton, who is hosting the draft?
Is it a
virtual draft?
Oh, it's virtual again.
That's too bad. Otherwise, they could walk up.
Well, they could still thank whoever won, congratulate the Stanley Cup.
We'd like to congratulate the Stanley Cup champions. We'd like to thank our fans. We're really exciting. And now it's my duty to release the Kraken.
Oh, that's right? Awesome. That is so cool.
It's so stupid.
That is, you're so, by the way, you
I
just
doubt
said the name.
They're but going to do that.
No, they should do that.
They're gonna enter the ice to that stupid thing.
Ron Francis is absolutely not.
No, they absolutely have
wait,
to do
so
that.
Wait a minute. You think they named the team that, and they're not going to use the
absolutely
meme?
Absolutely, have to do that. They may use the meme in some other term, but
like when they come
Francis,
out onto the ice,
Ron Francis. Sure, when
Throw
they come out
a
on the
giant
ice,
Kraken.
Who cares? The introductions are oftentimes very corny anyway.
The Sharks came through a shark with smoke blowing. You got to come through a Kraken,
of course,
or a Kraken comes down from the ceiling
well,
of the
they
arena.
Can't necessarily do that because the Red Wings already do that with the. The octopus.
Who cares?
All
well,
right,
you
can't,
they're not
going
to throw dead Kraken on the ice.
In that case, will he say, we'd like to congratulate the Stanley Cup champions. Hi to our fans back at our watch party. Let's get Kraken.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. Ron
you
Francis.
Book it. We'll make a bet. Wow. One of those two things is being said in the Zoom.
All right,
you know
I'll
what?
Make a bet.
Wait, I shouldn't make the bet just because it would only happen if it were live. God. If it's a Zoom draft, it might be different.
I need to put up a Twitter poll. I'm torn. I don't know if it's release the Kraken or let's get Kraken, which one I like the most. Both are really fantastic. Now, you know what? They have to have this in an arena because he needs to say release the Kraken and the giant Kraken comes down from above.
Mm.
Come on, how awesome would that be?
Why aren't they hosting the draft?
Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess next year I guess they'll get the I thought it was going back to an arena. This
no,
year,
they'll probably
not.
Go Montreal first because they were the ones that were
they
supposed
owed,
to have 2020.
That's right. So it's congratulations to the Stanley Cup champs. Thank you to the NHL for organizing the virtual draft.
Ugh.
Hello to our fans at the Starbucks Kraken Club inside the arena. And
that sounds actually nice. I would go to that.
The Starbucks Kraken Club. It's got to be Starbucks, right? Isn't that from Seattle?
Yeah.
So they got to be the one's base.
So they have Pete. There's Seattle's best coffee is what they have up there. Also, it's a direct competitor.
Oh no, there's. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. That's not a national brand. Then it's just
I think it's a chain, but it's up.
Oh, I never heard of that before. All right. Have you had Seattle's best coffee?
I don't think so.
There's something to live for, by the way. We will have Extendo Sports coming up in a moment, and the boys from the Instigators, of course, talking hockey with you, top of the hour on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, reminder, in 7 minutes and 10 seconds, The Blue Jays tickets for the next set of games. I think some of those homestands are on sale. Anyway, it doesn't matter. More Blue Jays tickets, 10 o'clock, general sale. BlueJays.com/single-game-tickets is where you want to go. Orioles, Mariners, Rays. I don't know if you want to go see the Rangers. Well, I mean, the Jays should win. And the Red Sox, of course. Red Sox fans, be ready to pony up a little dough. Those are the series that will be available, again, for general public sale at 10 o'clock. Capacity's going up to 80% at some point. It's going to be mostly the vaccinated seats that are going to be going up in the lower bowl. So good luck. Have fun. There certainly should still be tickets available after the presale, including the highly sought after Red Sox games, I would assume, with all the Red Sox fans that live in the Buffalo area. So good luck with that. What else?
Programming,
anything else we got to get in?
I'm on again today, 5:30 to 6:37 with Sneaky Joe because Mike's out sick. Bulldogs in Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
With Giant Goalie Son.
Pictures are cool. Oh, they're going for, is this a USHL thing?
Yes, yes.
Sweet.
The story is that it's past that. It's, let me get my phone. It's that Central Scouting wants them to take part in this.
Oh.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Woo!
I feel like I'm telling the story right.
I mean, I didn't catch that part of the story. Wow. I saw, like, he was drafted by a USHL team, right? Someone has his draft rights.
Yeah.
I thought.
They,
yeah, Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls, yeah.
Sioux Falls, yeah. So they want him, Central Scouting requested that Owen take part in this
terrific
Prospects Challenge.
Oh, that is fantastic.
So there you go.
Yeah, very, very exciting. And it's nice for him to tweet pictures of Moline, Illinois, and the Mississippi River and seeing our country. So that's
never been to
cool.
Sioux Falls?
I have not. Never been to either Dakota. Not even stopping in the airport on a changeover.
Last minute of play.
Not sure where you would change over.
Changeovers in South Dakota.
Just as it came out, I'm like, yeah, I don't think you're probably changing over in Grand Forks that often.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And that's
no, I got a flight down to Austin, Texas. I'm going to stop in Fargo.
Going Buffalo, Minnesota, Grand Forks, Dallas. You know, it's a popular route.
I've been to Fargo.
North Dakota. There's a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
TV show, too.
Maybe not. No, Grand Forks is where I was.
Sorry, yeah, Grand University Forks. Of North Dakota.
Yeah.
Yes.
The thing I remember about North Dakota is they have gambling blackjack machines in bars.
That's nice.
Like video blackjack is just
that's
you
pretty
go to
cool.
a bar and just play video blackjack. Maybe video poker.
That's when I knew I was in Vegas when I stepped off the plane, got off the walkway, and thought, wow, there's machines all through the airport. You know you're in Vegas. All right. Hey, Mr. White, thank you very much for today.
What should we talk about this afternoon? Should I tell Joe my mission to never... Seattle's team's name.
Yeah, let's see how long you can go.
I could talk golf, fantasy football. I got a big draft coming up this weekend. Joe's in that league.
You got a lot of stuff to get to, man.
Yeah.
Thank you,
sir.
We'll
figure it out.
All right, Instigators next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.